Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to The Chalene Show. Chalene is a New York Times bestselling author, celebrity fitness trainer, and obsessed with helping you live your dream life.
Hey, full circle moment today on The Chalene Show. I have back my very first guest, Brendon Burchard. Brendon Burchard is considered one of the world's, if not the world's, leading high-performance coach. He's been named such by Success Magazine and Oprah.com. Yes, he's worked with the Queen, Oprah, and her team. He's also one of the most watched, quoted, and followed personal development experts in history. I think he has something like 5 million social media followers, which is crazy. He's had countless number one selling books, including a number one New York Times selling book. That's so hard to do. A number one Wall Street Journal top selling book, Amazon number one, USA Today number one. He is the author of The Motivation Manifesto, The Charge, The Millionaire Messenger, Life's Golden Ticket, and his latest book, High Performance Habits, How Extraordinary People Become That Way. This is such a great interview. I said, Brendon, let me get you back on the show so we can talk about productivity. I mean, you've studied thousands of people, people at the top, the most influential leaders of our time. Can you share with us what they have in common and the takeaways that we can apply today? I'm fortunate enough to consider Brendon a dear friend. He's just one of the most generous people I've ever met in my entire life with his knowledge. He's high energy 24/7. I've spent days with him and I'm telling you, he never has those low moments, at least not in my presence anyways. I'm like, dude, do you ever chill? He does not. He's super high energy, always in a good mood, always positive. And frankly, I owe him a debt of gratitude for showing me the way when it comes to building an online business. His latest podcast is HPX, the High Performance Experience, which he hosts with his stunningly beautiful wife, Denise. So without me babbling on any further, let's bring Brendon onto the show. Brendon Burchard, thank you so much for being back to The Chalene Show.
I'm pumped to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I love your show.
Dude, you were my first guest.
I can't believe that when you told me that today. I literally, did you see my face when you said that? I'm like,
yeah.
That's amazing and an honor too.
I don't know what number this is. I should have looked it up four times, but I think you've probably been on like four or five times because you're legendary, you're epic, and you are one of the most generous people I know. I say this, you know, outside of your presence all the time. One of the most generous people I've ever met on the planet, willing to say, here's my playbook. Here's how I did it. How can I help you? Here's exactly what I did, and here are the mistakes I made, and here's what worked.
Yeah.
I want to honor you before we dig in here to productivity and all the things that make you Brendon.
I appreciate it, because I also really love seeing you take anything I've ever suggested to you to a whole other level of awesome. So wonderful when you have friends who you know, you have some friends, you share ideas with them, they never do anything with it, and other friends you share, and they go and make it better. You're one of those, so love being here.
And those people who don't take your advice, why do they keep coming back for more? Right?
I don't know. It's so true. They're still seeking, and my hope is they'll find the thing they need.
Well, we were talking just before we started about, you know, kind of like your vibe hour or your power hours or those that time of day when you really are at your best. And today, I want to help people understand how to customize, optimize their own productivity. What is it about the hours a day? Like, so I've heard people say, you know, you've got to start, you know, dig into your work first thing in the morning or exercise first thing in the morning. And then, you know, make sure you're just, there's a lot of people who recommend a specific schedule in order to be productive. And you've studied millions of data points and compiled this for us. What can you tell us about high performers and, you know, having certain times of the day that need to be scheduled, and then you personally?
Yeah. Well, one, there's a huge myth behind that, that it's the same for everybody, which it simply is not. And one of the reasons most people say do things first thing in the morning is because there's a tremendous literature base behind it. Not that the people who do things the first thing in the morning are the most effective or most successful. The literature base behind the first thing in the morning stuff you always hear is about behavior change in new things. So psychology, economic behavior, when you're trying to understand how a person can start any new program and stick to it or get more immediate results. Obviously, if they do it the first thing in the morning, that's an anchor. It's like begin, do, complete. So the research is really about that helping people stick to a change.
Okay.
More than it is about them becoming successful over the long term. And so my whole research base has always been studying people over the long term of success.
Okay.
And if you actually study people over the long term of success, it's not like they all work out in the morning. It's not like they all do this first thing in the morning. There's some, you can find plenty of studies dotted all over the place. But when you step back, what you're really seeing is a picture that when you're trying to create behavior change, and that's where a lot of the research comes from, like people work out first thing in the morning. That was coming from people changing a diet or changing a workout plan. Get it done first thing in the morning so it's complete and then move on. But that was not associated with longer term health outcomes or longer term success in productivity or health and wellness. So it's kind of fascinating. And the good thing about the research, it basically says, is it's variable. I mean, all science is at some point.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
What it shares to you is, hey, listen, maybe your approach in the morning and it's working for you over the long term, stick to that. If it's not, change it up. For me, as you know, we were joking about this. I want to be, and for almost a decade of my life, I worked out in the morning. I was like, I'm going to be the, you know, everyone says work out in the morning. I'm going to work out in the morning guy, but I'd have to get up and I'd be one of those guys. I'd have to like dog it into the gym. I'd be like, oh, I don't want to be here. Or I'd have to take a pre-workout thing just to get my brain and body able to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I started listening and tuning in more. And I thought, you know what? Actually, in the morning, what do I really like to do? I like to chill in the morning.
Mm.
I like to think and stretch and do like slower movements or walks. I'd like to plan and think through the day so I don't get so overwhelmed in the middle of the day. And you know what I like to do is in the afternoon, I feel alert. I feel ready to go. I feel ready to crush it. And I want to, in the afternoon, do my exercise to blow off the stress I've accumulated during the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my style, but not everybody else's style.
So let me ask you this. If I'm trying to develop this habit, should I focus on what feels best for me, or should I focus on the anchor? Like, in other words, if it's easier for me to anchor it to an afternoon schedule or morning schedule, should I start with that? Or should I start with like, well, but I'm going to feel the most energy, let's say, if we start with exercise, or even like your creative time, right? Like, so certainly all of us, in order to be productive, have to be aware of like when we're like most excited to work and be creative. Should we pay attention to what that time is for us or when we can best anchor it?
I love the simple answer to this, but in many ways, it's a complex one. Because the simple answer is whenever you're going to be most consistent about it.
Okay.
That's the answer. The consistency is always key to all productivity, to all high performance. It's like a critical element. But the trick question in that is that inconsistency, like most people, when they think, oh, I got to be consistent, and they approach consistency based on time. They go, oh, I can do it at that time. I will be consistent at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, our emotional world tends to take over our own time management. Our emotional world tends to dictate the consistency we actually have. So you could say, hey, it's at 6 a.m. every morning, come hell or high water. But if you do it at 6 a.m. every day and you feel miserable about it, then did you get the choice right?
That's
you
right.
Chose consistency based on a time, and time is not always the best thing to set consistency on. Consistency should be founded on feeling. Not, I don't mean feeling as in you have to feel perfect or do it. I mean, on a regular basis, we could talk about a week, two, three, or four. When is it most likely that you will do it and you will feel joy or engagement or passion from that?
Oh, okay.
Just for the record, most people, including myself, they actually don't know that answer. You must track and experiment and test before you know the answer. Because most people go, oh, well, of course, I got to do it right after this with the kids, or I got to do it right after this first thing in the morning, or I got to do it at the end of the day because of these reasons. But whatever your first impression is, in real personal development, whatever your first impression is, tends to be the one that's not true. Your first guess is your usual unexplored answer. I say instead, hey, instead of trying to figure out the answer and dedicating that's going to be it, what I'd love to do is pick pockets of time, track and measure it, and see, you know what? I thought it'd be the first thing in the morning, but the truth is when I made it 3 o'clock, I stuck to it five times more. I stuck to it. Five times more I did it. Five times more I engaged with it, enjoyed it, whatever that answer is for it. But I think it's just a thing about behavior change. There's these easy pat answers to say when to do it. But the question is, what do people stick to and grow through over the long term?
We interrupt this broadcast to talk about your lady parts, your boobs. Okay. So you guys are always asking me what bra I recommend. And the reason why I never respond is because I can't tell you what bra I wear because your boobs are different, right? And number one, and number two, I haven't had a bra that fits right. I don't think ever. I swear. Well, I have one that I used to love, but it's so worn out, it's ridiculous. So anyways, long story short, I'm listening to one of my favorite podcasters and she starts talking about this company where you can go to the website, you fill out this quiz, and they send her the perfect fitting bra. I'm like, what do I have to lose? So I go to the website, I fill out the questionnaire, and I order two bras. They show up, and one of them is like perfection. I can't even believe it. And the other one is like close, but it's just a little bit off in the straps. Then I get a text message the next day from their customer service department asking about my experience. I tell them how the one bra doesn't quite fit right. This wonderful customer service rep kind of goes through a series of questions for me, and she's like, I recommend you try this one instead. They ship out the replacement bra, problem solved. And as always, when I find something that I use, that I love, that makes my life easier, I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to try to get you a discount too. What's the company? It's called Third Love. And you get a 15% discount. Shalene Show listeners, all of y'all, get a 15% discount when you go to thirdlove.com/Shalene. And your lady parts will thank you. Because frankly, who wants to go to the mall to that very expensive place that we will keep a secret, wink, wink, and spend all this time in a dressing room? There's always a long line trying on bras and then buying one that's overpriced and taking it home and not having it fit anyways. Be smart about these things. There's a much better way to do this. You've got to try this company. All right, go to the website. It'll take you like 60 seconds or less. thirdlove.com/Shalene. And don't forget, you get 15% off when you do use that link. And you know, I only tell you about things that I personally use, I love, and I think you're going to love too. You had mentioned that you like to spend the first part of your day thinking, planning, and that really resonates with me because I need to do that too. And I think many people struggle with that because it doesn't always look like work to everyone else. And I protect that time. So nothing goes on my calendar in terms of like a meeting, a podcast, an interview, anything before 11 a.m. And ideally, I'd kind of like it to be around noon. Now, that doesn't mean that's when I start working. It just isn't going to look like work to most people because I spend a lot of time writing, thinking, listening, consuming, and I need to be by myself. How important is this in your own experience? And then what have you found with other really high performing people?
Well, I can tell you from some of the data that simple things they don't do, and either do I. The first thing we don't do is wake up, grab the phone, and blah, and start scrolling through the phone, checking on social media. The first thing we don't do is get up and check email. Because the data is super clear on this. And obviously, the mindset stuff is super clear on this. So listen to this. If the first thing you do is wake up and start scrolling through social media, your mind immediately, from the first thing upon the morning, sets into conformity, sets into comparison. And now, all of a sudden, you woke up, and you might have been fresh, but now, instead of thinking creatively, you're thinking comparatively. You're comparing yourself against everybody else, or what are they doing? You're checking out of your life, checking into theirs.
Yes.
Going from what could have been a strategic thinking for the day, and you went into reactive thinking. Then if you check your email first thing in the morning, which is the major sin, by the way, in productivity, major sin. When we see, they check their email because I want to get a handle of the day. No, you're not getting the handle of the day. What you're doing is you're jumping in the inbox, and the inbox is nothing but a convenient organizing system of other people's agendas.
Amen.
And so you jump into the inbox, and now you're reacting to everybody else again. So think about it. Social media makes you compare. The inbox makes you react. And now let's think about that. Would you ever go to a high school kid? Would any of us ever go to a high school kid and say, hey, honey, the way I'd like you to start your day is just start your day, first thing, comparing yourself to other people. And, you know, be very reactive with your emotions. No one would ever say that, but that's what so many adults actually do every day. And so what you want to do is instead, now, if you work out in the morning or not, that's okay. But what you do before you begin the workday, if you want to be productive, you sit down and first you prompt your mind with what are like mindset prompts to get yourself in a good state of mind. For me, that's asking questions like, what can I be excited about today? Who could I surprise today with a nice gesture of appreciation or love or kindness? What's one thing I could do that I've been waiting to do that I'll finally give myself permission to do? What's something I could try that would be a little uncomfortable but might move the needle forward? What are the major projects I'm working on? And what would be the major steps I'd need to take to make them happen? What are my major priorities today? Just these simple kinds of questions that you can ask. We have a thing called that.
Simple, but so much intention behind each of those questions. So much intention. It really sets you up for starting your day. Everything you've said here really is going to be a much more meaningful way to organize your thoughts and even what you attack first.
Yeah, we have this thing called the High Performance Planner. I have one right here because it literally does not leave my side throughout the day. Not at work, ever. I mean, this is with me everywhere I go. And we developed it based on this big, huge research project, but also what I was finding working for my clients. So asking those morning mindset prompts are important. But then here's the most important thing that no one does, it seems like, is look to the day's agenda. So open up your calendar or open up your planner. Look and see what is scheduled. Like you said, you might have a call scheduled at 11 o'clock. What most people do is they kind of glance at it and they're like, okay, and they begin the day.
Mm.
What we found with high performers is they ruminate on the day in advance, which is a fancy way of saying they think about that 11 o'clock meeting and they ask questions like this. Okay, I see I have a meeting at 11 a.m. How can I deliver with excellence at that meeting today? What could I add value in at that meeting today? How could I enjoy that meeting today? And they literally close their eyes or they sit back and they think about it and they start kind of visualizing how that particular activity is going to go and how it's going to go well. And they do that for the whole day. They literally just, and this might only take 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes, but they also ask questions like, I learned this one, now I ask it all the time. What about this meeting or what about this day might trip me up today?
Might trip me up. What do you mean by that?
Might stress me out, might throw me off my game. And okay, how would my best self deal with that? So for example, you got an 11 a.m. meeting and, you know, Barbara's going to be there. And Barbara is...
Oh, no, not Barbara.
She's always going to throw, you know, a wrench in the thing. But you know that. So in the morning, you go, okay, Barbara's going to be at a meeting. How can I engage Barbara in a different way to a different result? Or if she does throw a wrench in it, how can I not react, not get mad, and move the thing forward? So this is called anticipation and visualization. And if you want to have unbelievably productive days, it means when you are in those productive moments, you're producing a better outcome.
It's so simple, but you're right. People don't give themselves the space or permission to do this. And actually, what you've just said is like, you have to give yourself almost permission, and I hope I'm not taking this out of context, but permission to picture the worst case scenario and how you're going to deal with it.
Absolutely. That anticipation and visualization is what's going to make you more productive at the things that you're going to do that matter.
I guess the piece that is kind of surprising to me, because we've all heard about visualization, but I think we all picture, when we visualize something, we visualize just the best perfect outcome. And if I hear you correctly, you're suggesting that, you know, you actually want to think about what's going to trigger you and what's going to throw you off kilter. You want to think of even some of your obstacles so that you can address them mentally in that rumination time, in that period of preparation before the event, so that you really show up prepared.
Yeah, I'm a high performance trainer, and you know I'm not that high performance trainer that really focuses on athletics. But in that area of athletics, there's just zero question that the main thing you would do with like the highest performing marathon runner in the world is not say, think about how great it's going to be, great, it's going to be great. You want them to go, okay, when you're at mile 21 and your legs feel like they're going to fall off and your knee hurts and your back is getting that awful feeling from running too long, what are you going to say to yourself? How are you going to recharge and recoup in that mile to make sure you can finish the last five? You want people to anticipate the difficulties and anticipate the joys, but you can't skip both of them. That's what most people do. And I go off on this a little bit on productivity because—
What is the number one danger?
Most people think, if you ask people, what's the number one challenge people have? And everyone loves to say fear, right? Oh, it's fear. Fear always stops you. Fear is the worst thing, fear. And listen, I take on fear in my book, Motivation Manifesto. I take on fear and high performance habits. But what I've learned in coaching some of the best in the world, fear is not your ultimate enemy. Going through the motions is your enemy.
Mm.
People listening to you, Shalene, or to our, you know, HPX podcast or my Brennan show, people in our tribe, they tend to be strivers. They're trying to make their life better. They're into personal development. This is not the first thing they've ever listened to. They're working on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The great danger for people like that, strivers, successful people, is that because you've done that, you're good, you're successful. You can get by kind of faking it. You can get by, you know, just showing up and winging it because you're good. You know, you're not an underperformer. You might be an average performer or a high performer. So you can just show up during the day, do your work, and no one bothers you. Everything's fine. But if you just keep going through the motions, you are always playing under your true level of potential.
Mediocracy.
The only way to avoid going through the motions is to think about the thing you're about to do and say, how could I bring my A game to that? How can I be my best at that? To spend time actually thinking it through so that when you show up, you can glide, you can flow, you can deal with the things because you anticipated it. Otherwise, you're just showing up and you're kind of half-assing it.
Yeah.
The world doesn't need another half-ass boss, another half-ass parent, another half-ass interested lover. We need fully engaged, present, connected people. And to do that well in your career over the long term, you've got to learn to look at that day and say, how will I do that well?
That is such a great mindset shift. I mean, just you explaining that very simple concept that's often overlooked makes me feel more confident just imagining myself doing those things. We'll get back to the show in just a second, but I wanted to take this opportunity to thank our show sponsor, Sleep Number Mattress. I don't have someone sponsor the podcast unless it is 100% something I believe in and have used and love. You've been hearing me talk about my Sleep Number mattress long before they became a sponsor for the show. That's because Brett and I have been sleeping on a Sleep Number mattress for 17 years. Our neighbors recommended that we get one 17 years ago, and they said, if you don't love it, we'll buy it off of you. And we were like, okay, that is a pretty serious testimonial. And they were dead on. It's amazing, this bed. You can adjust one person's side to be soft and the other person's side to be firm. If one person's like tossing and turning at night, you don't wake up your partner. It's completely quiet. It's the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. And you know, sometimes your body's just sore and you want a softer mattress, or sometimes you feel like you need a firmer mattress. Well, you can do that without having to get a different mattress when you have a Sleep Number mattress. We recently got the Sleep Number 360, which is their limited edition smart bed, because I'm a smart girl. Now, I want to make a serious recommendation. Do what Brett and I did. Go into a Sleep Number store. You've seen them at the malls, etc. They've got over 575 locations. So, I mean, there's going to be one by you. Make an investment in your health. Is there anything more important than your sleep? I mean, you can live without food. You cannot live without sleep. You can also learn more by going to sleepnumber.com/Shalene. And that's how you can find out where there's a store near you. But you should do this, I'm telling you, because the Sleep Number bed is the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. It's also pretty cool to be able to say that they have the highest in customer service satisfaction for all mattresses as rated by JD Power in 2018. That's pretty powerful. Okay, so to learn more, go to sleepnumber.com/Shaleen. And now back to the show.
It's critical. And then at the end of the day, you look back and you develop your own evening scorecard. Every night I want, like, it's very popular to say, you know, write down a gratitude journal. Mm-hmm. And gratitude journals are great for feelings, but they're not great for progress.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to say, okay, every single night, what did I learn about myself today? What did I learn about other people? What do I wish I could have done differently? What would have made the day better? And then we got to measure ourselves on important things. Like for me, I measure myself on the high performance habits, clarity, energy, productivity, influence, courage, these things that matter to me. But other people, you might measure it on like, okay, how did I do with this child and this child? How did I do in this influence situation or that influence situation? Or how did I do with my workout or my health or my diet? Like you have to every night just take even 5 minutes to go, okay, in these important areas, let me score or rate myself. In the high performance planner, we built that in for people. So they have the evening journal and then the evening habit scorecard. So that consistently you're looking at the things that matter the most to you. The other thing is, you know, that comes with going through the motions is you stop consistently looking at the things that matter. Because when you start going through the motions, it's easier to be more distracted. When you're going through the motions, you don't measure and look at what matters. And then 5 years goes by and you're like, holy heck, where am I? Why am I doing this? Why did I take my eye off of this? It's like so important for successful people because successful people can go into any area and be good.
Right. I recently did an episode on accepting mediocrity. And how you really are cheating yourself and your life and the people around you of your greatness because you've accepted mediocrity. And I've got this podcast group called the Pod Squad. It's a little Facebook group. And, you know, the conversation kind of turned to that episode and people were talking about how one of the reasons why they've accepted mediocrity is because they don't want to get it wrong.
Yeah.
If they go bigger. So help us understand. There's no question that the people who struggle with this the most, and this is a message to the parents, are those who were raised in an environment where you couldn't take chances, you couldn't take risks, you had to do everything perfect, you better get straight A's, you better do what mom and dad expect you to do and to be who mom and dad expect you to be and hang out with, you know, just so there was, you had to get it right or you were going to be in trouble. So moms and dads, you got to let your kids F up and let them figure out how to fix it. But so now I'm an adult and I realize that I have this block that I'm afraid to go outside. I'm afraid to go big. I'm afraid to dream big. How can you help those people make that shift?
Yeah, I think it's truly, it is one of the great fears. There's four great fears. One of them is ruin. If I do something, it's going to ruin my life. And it's, you know, it's irrecoverable. It's like, if I do that, it destroys everything. And there's a big globalization and general data about how your life is ruined. The other one is rejection. If I do this, the people who saw me excellent or saw me good or told me how to be, they're going to reject me. They're not going to go along with me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the other one that for a lot of people that holds them back is they just go regret. If I do this, I will regret it because, you know, I had it better than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one, which you mentioned, is responsibility. Most people fear responsibility because they fear that they won't be capable of handling that next level.
Yeah.
Most people, they know exactly what they need to do to get ahead. And it's something I wrote in High Performance Habits. Achievement is not their problem. Like most people, they know how to develop a checklist. They know how to write down actions and activities and to-dos and deadlines. Almost everybody knows how to plan and think through that. It's that they don't do it. So achievement, like actually doing it is not the problem. And I had this one woman in High Performance Habits, we tell her story. She talks about her breakthrough was she realized achievement was not her problem. Alignment was.
Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. She kept worrying that she wouldn't be capable to handle the next level. She kept worrying she couldn't get there, or if she did it, she would fail and over a period of times. And then one day she realized she was so focused on whether or not she could do it, make it happen, achieve it, the checklist of life, but she never really aligned her heart and her soul around what was most important and gave herself to that and dedicated herself to that. She was so worried about the little wins to show off to people because she didn't want to be rejected. So worried about the external rewards and recognition. But she never fully aligned herself to something. And because if you never really fully align yourself to something, no, what you're not being pulled. That lack of mission, that lack of purpose. Like, you don't have, like, when you know you're in real alignment, there's less forcing and more flow.
How does anyone know with certainty that they are in alignment? And is there a way for us to check that for ourselves?
I mean, there's tons of the, you know, in the science of what we study in psychology, we talk about, you know, the simple cases of subjective well-being and happiness scores. Okay. It's like, follow a person over, like, if you're really miserable, mm-hmm. you are out of alignment. Think about it physically. You know, if you know me, I've broken most of the bones in my body. When I am physically out of alignment, I'm in pain.
Yeah, that's one really simple way. And I think we're so conditioned to just continually move forward that we don't, again, give ourselves permission to feel and to assess, like, how do I feel? Does this make sense? You know, I just recently made a really difficult decision that would have benefited me financially from a platform standpoint, but it isn't in alignment with what I believe. Yes. And so I feel so empowered. And now it makes sense to me that every time I did this event in the past, why it was uncomfortable for me, why I didn't feel excited. And I normally would over this type of event. And I realized today that it was because it's really no longer in alignment with what I believe.
Yeah. And on the opposite side of that, every time each of us makes, you know, or takes the next right action of integrity for ourselves, when we do the right thing, we feel it. We just like, oh, this is right for me. This is good for me. I made a tough choice here, but good for me. And like the good kind of pride comes in. So, you know what? I'm on my right path here. I'm on the right path. I've aligned myself to my values, to the things that I feel like joy from. Yeah. I've aligned to the things that I feel matter or will make the difference. And I've started pushing away some of the other things that are also nice, also well-rewarded, but they're kind of clutter when you think about what that alignment is. Like, when you think of alignment, you don't think of a million stars shooting in different directions. You think of like that laser beam. Mm. And it's not that everyone needs to do one thing, but I think it's really important to realize if you're doing something, you're like, this is out of alignment with my character. This is out of alignment with what I really believe. This is out of alignment with where I want to focus my time, my effort, my energy for myself, for my family. You got to notice those things. And it's why it's such a simple trick to tell people in the evening, you must score yourself on the things that matter you the most. Because you'll notice if you go 10 nights in a row and every night you're like, this area I am off on, it is not good. Your brain will go, hey, dummy. Pay attention.
Right.
Listen, because I really believe everyone, especially on your show, these are strivers. This group who you're talking to, they already know how to get after it. Now we need to make sure they're getting after the things that are right for them. And when they get after the things that are right for them, real speed and real progress and real momentum and real fulfillment come back into the day.
Well, I think that's a perfect segue to mention your podcast, High Performance or HPX, that you and your wife Denise is on a lot of the episodes, which I freaking love. I mean, I love you, but it's so cool to hear her perspective.
Yeah, she's the best part.
Yeah, it is. And she's got a different personality and it's cool to hear her perspective. I really love the episodes. And I love that you are bringing so many other experts to that show and introducing people to other great podcasts for people who are interested in high performance. But I want to ask you a personal question.
Yeah.
You know, I've known you since 2010 was when we met. So now we're going on 10 years. And I'd never known Denise to be in the forefront with you. Like, I know she always ran her businesses and her gyms. And I was always like, is he really married? Is there really? Who is this Denise? And now she seems to be like, it's such a cool, don't know if it's a transition or if it was just the right timing, but you just look and seem so happy. And I'm wondering what brought about that change and how is Denise handling the notoriety, kind of being in the forefront?
Yeah, it's so, a lot of people have that same thing. Like Brennan, he never mentions his wife by name. I always say my lady, my wife.
Yeah, that's right. That's true.
My sweetie, my love. You know, I always said that for 10 years on stage, I tell her story, my story, you know, a lot of the origin stories of me starting my career.
We thought it was catfish.
Yeah.
I went broke. Just kidding.
I went broke. I had to move in with her. So everyone knows that story. Like, oh, his first book, he went broke. And then he moved in with this girl. And then, you know, and that's about the extent that they know about her. And here's the honest reason of why that was, is because when we were living in Portland, Oregon, she had an exercise studio. Now, at the time, my career is going, you know, 1 million, 2 million, 3 million, 4 million, 5 million fans on Facebook, you know, hundreds of thousands of subscribers. People constantly look me up and they'd show up at our office. They'd find me. Mm. And I never wanted to mention my wife by name so that people didn't Google her. And then if they did, guess what would come up? Her exercise studio.
Right.
And now, as you know, we attract amazing, extraordinary people on social media. And sometimes you attract strange rangers.
Hello.
And I did not want strange rangers finding my wife where she was in that, you know, she was in that exercise studio 7 days a week at this set time. Here's her class schedule. It was not a safe situation for the size of brand we had.
Makes sense.
And yeah. And people see, well, now that they know that, they're like, well, that's stupid or what. I'm like, yeah, step into my shoes. Like, and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's a scary thing when people know you and they come up to you in the bathroom. You know?
Oh my gosh, I've had it happen.
It's not normal. And sometimes when you look at the history, Shalene, of our industry, almost every man in my position at a certain level of income ended up divorced or in horrible relationships because of not caretaking that relationship. The number one thing in my career has been protecting my relationship with my lady, ensuring that as I became known, that that didn't compromise her ability to live the simple and quiet and loving connected life she had in our community. Like, here, to give you an example, people think, oh, he was just hiding his wife. My Facebook page said San Francisco when I lived in Portland for 10 years. Oh, I mean, I did everything. If you Google my birth date, it's not right what you will find on the internet.
You're
like,
smart.
I did everything to play under the radar because I'm a kid from Montana and all the attention was freaking me out.
Yeah.
And then what happened is we moved. She built the exercise studios to 30 plus employees. She successfully sold them, transitioned out of them, and now she wasn't in the same place every day. And we were traveling and we moved, and it was like, oh, now I don't have to worry about people finding my lady.
Mm.
And so now
you're sharing her.
Yes. Now as we moved, it's like she was such a great mentor to her employees. I said, I'd love to get your perspective of sharing with women how to build a business and sharing with women how to mentor. Would you be interested in that? And she said, I don't know. And so we did a few, you know, live broadcasts together, and she kind of was very nervous and very like critical of herself because she's not used to it yet. But, you know, teaching a class of bar method to 30 women, she's alive. And I said, just do that. So she's learned to be alive on social media and be part of it. And I think she's brought an unbelievably great perspective. And I think people, from what we're hearing, they love seeing her and I together because she makes me more goofy. And I think she makes me more goofy, and people can see the joy that we have together, and they're like, oh, that makes Brendan more human.
Yeah.
And I was like, was I inhuman before? But
no, it's cool. And I'm gonna put links in our show notes so you guys can find some of my favorite episodes on HPX podcast. But make sure you subscribe to, and of course, the Brendan Show, because they're both, I mean, anyone who listens to the Shalene Show, you're gonna love his content. And I love the variety that you get on the brand. I like the variety on both of them, actually, but I think it's really fun for people to sometimes meet others, the other half. Like, people love the episodes of the Shalene Show where you're hearing from Brett, even though I'm not responsible for anything he says, but they do enjoy listening to him. Well, Brendan, it has been an honor and a pleasure to have you back as a guest on the Shalene Show. Tell people where they can, other than the podcast, where can people connect with you?
Yeah, on Instagram, Brendan Burchard, which is important because that's where, if you want to see Denise and I do our live, everyone's like, where do you guys go live? We do it live on my Instagram, so at Brendan Burchard.
And dang, and she's pretty.
Thank you.
Sheesh. You are way outside your league.
Oh, totally. Totally.
He's gorgeous.
When I met her, if my haircut's bad now, you should see it when I met her. No, she does an amazing job, brings a different perspective. And then on HBX Podcast, we bring in your show, some of your best shows. We bring in some of the best shows of the podcasters that her and I listen to. And HPX stands for the high performance experience. And we just realized, like, you can't have the high performance experience if you only listen to me. You know, I need to put the perspective. I'm a high performer because I have this amazing love with my woman. We have this amazing relationship and it fuels me. I'm a high performer because I listen to all these other podcasts that give me good insights. So we're curating on there. And as I said, just on Instagram is a good place to start to learn about us. And we link over to the shows quite often from there.
Well, Brendan, it's been awesome. You are so legit. You are like this 24/7. I always tell people, like, what you see, that he doesn't have a low energy mode. If he does, I've never seen it. And I've spent hours and hours and days with him. You're very generous and giving. And I mean, talk about a motivational speaker. It's on the next level. I mean, what you've done to help other people launch their careers and to just believe in themselves is really remarkable. So I have to honor you and thank you for being a guest here today.
I appreciate it. Love you, Shalene.
Love you too. Bye.